The World This Week. The President Concedes.
I promised you 4 years ago that I would never lie to you. So I can't stand here tonight and say it doesn't hurt.
So does the Independent.
Of course I'm disappointed. I'm only human.
The President-elect puts his victory in perspective.
Well, there's never been a more humbling moment in my life.
I'm Paul Lockwood, CBS News, sitting in for David Jackson and reporting on the CBS Radio Network. All the polls said the race was going to be a close one. Too close to call, they said, but it sure didn't turn out that way. It was a landslide as Ronald Reagan captured 489 electoral votes to only 49 for Jimmy Carter and none for John Anderson. Even before the polls closed on the West Coast election night, the president called the president-elect to congratulate him and to offer his assistance in providing a smooth transition of government. Then Mr. Carter went to a Washington hotel to address a group of disappointed supporters.
I've not achieved all I set out to do. Perhaps no one ever does. But we have faced the tough issues. We've stood for and we fought for and we have achieved some very important goals for our country. These efforts will not end with this administration. The effort must go on, nor will the progress that we have made be lost when we leave office.
In contrast to the gloom at Carter headquarters, the mood, of course, was jubilant in Los Angeles, where Ronald Reagan appeared before some of the people who backed him.
We're going to put America back to work again. You know, I aim to try and tap that great American spirit that opened up this completely undeveloped continent from coast to coast and made it a great nation, survived several wars, survived a Great Depression, and we'll survive the problems that we face right now.
More on the election after this message.
Joe, wake up.
Why did
you buy such a noisy clock?
Noisy? It's just a normal ticking.
Well, it sounds like Big Ben to me.
Hey, why don't you go back to sleep?
I can't get to sleep. I took an aspirin, too.
Aspirin? But that's for a headache. Hey, try Compose. It's great when occasionally you can't get to sleep. Yeah, I think I might have some.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night? Take Compose. C-O-M-P-O-Z. Taken as directed before you go to bed, Compose helps make you drowsy so you can fall asleep when you want to fall asleep. At bedtime.
Hey, Martha. Martha, time to get up.
Oh, is it morning already?
What were you saying about not being able to get to sleep?
Oh, not after you gave me that Compose. It really helped me doze off.
It's Compose for you.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night? Take Compose. C-O-M-P-O-Z. Take only as directed. Compose is available at all drug counters.
As for the transition and what may lie ahead once the Republicans assume control, Neil Strauser takes a look in this report from Washington.
In 1976, Jack Watson had the happy task of heading up Jimmy Carter's transition team, arranging the takeover from the Ford administration. Now there is the unhappy task of handing power back to a Reagan administration. And again, it is Watson, now White House Chief of Staff, who's been named to carry out Jimmy Carter's promise of the best transition in history. The president-elect has been offered and has accepted the use of Blair House, the presidential guest house across Pennsylvania Avenue, as the time of transition draws nearer. Meanwhile, senior White House officials have set up an unofficial employment service to help look for jobs for White House staffers, many of whom have never worked for anyone but Jimmy Carter as governor, candidate, or president. On Capitol Hill, an unemployment problem looms also, with office staffs of 13 Democratic senators being ousted at the end of this year, and what were majority committee staffs being whittled down to minority size as the Republicans take over for the first time since 1954. Strom Thurmond becomes Judiciary Committee chairman, promising to seek a federal death penalty. James McClure, no favorite of the environmentalists, Energy Committee chairman. But some Republican moderates are also coming to power, most notably Howard Baker of Tennessee, who seems assured of keeping his leadership post, now as majority leader, a post that eluded even his famous father-in-law, Everett Dirksen. Neil Strauser, CBS News, Washington.
Being swept out by the Republican broom were some of the Senate's more prominent Democrats. Men like Birch Bayh in Indiana, Warren Magnuson in Washington, Frank Church in Idaho, and Herman Talmadge in Georgia. Also falling by the wayside was George McGovern of South Dakota, the Democrats' nominee for president just 8 years ago.
It's one of the great dangers to our political process. We've seen a new virulence and a new velocity to this extremism that I think is unprecedented in American political history.
McGovern was one of six liberal Democrats who had been targeted for defeat by a group called the National Conservative Political Action Committee. Of the six, only Alan Cranston in California and Thomas Eagleton in Missouri were reelected. The World This Week continues in 1 minute.
This is Leon Uris. In my novels, I deal with themes that I think are unusually significant. I like to get the feel of history in my work and reflect it through my characters. That's why reading or hearing about the fight against cancer excites me, the way my own themes do. I can envision the scientist buried in his work, obsessed by it. I see the family where cancer has struck and the desperation they feel when known treatments aren't succeeding. I see the anguish of the patient when she's told she has cancer and the elation of those patients who learn they've been saved. The cancer fight is not something I can easily dismiss. None of us can. We're all involved. We should all help. When we're asked to support the American Cancer Society, it's not just another cause. It's important. When your volunteer calls, please give generously.
Remember, it's your American Cancer Society.
As for the view of the election results from overseas, Dan Revive has that report from London.
Western European politicians who before the election had no enthusiasm for either Mr. Carter or Mr. Reagan spoke hopefully this week about the man who won. Conservative governments, such as that of Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher here in Britain, seem convinced that the new American president will provide more leadership for the Western world. Socialist governments in West Germany and Scandinavia are concerned that relations with the Soviet Union might turn from detente to confrontation. But politicians in those countries say Mr. Reagan may not turn out to be the cold warrior they feared he would be. All of Europe was impressed by the size of his victory. The government of Iran condemned both candidates, but was obviously unhappy about President-elect Reagan. Tehran Radio was heard in London condemning him as a fascist cowboy, and it appears that the election results have slowed down the momentum toward releasing the 52 American hostages in Iran. The Islamic Revolutionary Government said it is waiting for Washington's reply to the four conditions set by Iran's parliament last week. In the meantime, a relative moderate who urged the release of the hostages, former Foreign Minister Sadegh Ghotzadeh, was arrested after he criticized the way hardline Muslim leaders are running the state broadcasting service. Some observers say his arrest is part of a general move by the hardliners against President Bani Sadra. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
In Poland, leaders of the nation's independent trade union movement have been meeting to map plans for a possible series of nationwide strikes. The labor chiefs say they will call the walkouts Wednesday if Poland's Supreme Court rules against removing a clause in the union's statutes that acknowledges the supremacy of the Communist Party in Poland. In Washington this week, a federal court jury convicted two former FBI officials of authorizing illegal break-ins. W. Mark Felt and Edward Miller could each be sentenced to up to 10 years in prison. In southern West Virginia, there was a methane gas explosion in a coal mine. The blast killed five miners. And actor Steve McQueen died this week in Mexico at the age of 50. McQueen suffered a heart attack after undergoing surgery for the removal of a cancerous tumor. The World This Week, produced by Harry Polosian. I'm Paul Lockwood, CBS News.